Good to have everybody tonight. Welcome here, Family Worship Center, as we gather together, going deeper. Some of our ones couldn't make it tonight, but that's okay. That's why we got it on tape, so that everybody can hear. I want you to be excited, because I believe it's so important. I believe we're moving in a day and a time right now where there's an acceleration, that God is putting a demand upon us that we step up higher, that we move farther, that we accelerate with who we are, who He is within our lives. I really do. I feel that there's a demand. I feel that there is a pulling going on. And if you feel that pull, give God praise. Come on, amen. Give God praise. Because I feel the pull of God. I feel Him pulling me to get closer to Him like never before. And I thank Him. I thank the Holy Spirit. We need to thank the Holy Spirit. I thank You, Father God, for the Holy Spirit in my life. That God, You're making that awareness that I have an ear to hear, an ear to hear. Amen? All right. Just a real quick note, an acronym for miracle. I began to think about Jesus. You know, Jesus' life was a miracle. From the start to the end. Amen? I want you to know this and see this and see the power of it, that Jesus, He, from the moment that He was born, His immaculate reception, conception, God... I'm a Steeler fan, you know. I'm a Steeler fan, yeah. But from the moment of His birth, was a miracle, amen? And from the moment that they escaped and they went to Egypt and all the everything, the story after story, His life, His daily living, amen? It was radical, it was abundant, it was powerful. And from the death to the burial to the resurrection, His whole life was filled with miracles. If you're a Christian, you're to live a miracle life. I want you to hear that. Come on, amen. If you're a Christian, we are to live miracle lives. We are to live radical lives. We are to live abundant life. Amen. But it is a matter of us stepping into it. It's a matter of us walking into it, being aware of it. And sometimes we get so custom with ordinary. Sometimes we just walk in the ordinary. We just get, you know, like the disciples were sitting there, just going through the motions, and Jesus stepped in and just wrecked the ordinary. And that's what He does. He'll step in the midst of your ordinary and say, no, that's not the way it's to be, but you're called for something greater, amen? You are called to represent Christ. We are called for the glory of God. And the miracle, there's every one of these, the first one, M, speaks of model. That Jesus was that model of a life. I is inspiration. We're to be an inspiration to people every moment of our lives. Every moment of our lives. Am I provoking people unto righteousness? Or am I provoking you into anger? I've been in a place, I don't know about you, have you been in a place where you provoke people? Going, you know how to, I know how to provoke. I know how to provoke my spouse. I'm good at it. I know how to provoke my daughter. I know how to provoke those that you're close to. I know how to provoke my workers to get sometimes what I need out of them. You push the buttons you know that gets me worked up and I work harder. But you know, I want you to see this. But we're to provoke one another to righteousness. We're to inspire one another. My life should be an inspiration to you. Our lives should be. Why? Because there's a miracle. Christ is in me. Come on, amen. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And so there's a representation that our lives should be that abundance of inspiration to people around us. Well, I'm not like that, Pastor Chris. No. Shame on. Don't say that, because listen, you have Christ, the same Christ in you as me. I'm not more spiritual. Come on, amen. But it's us being aware of Christ in us that takes us over the top. And your inspiration to somebody could be different than mine. I'm going to get into that tonight. So, response. This is the conditions of miracles. My response. Action. My credibility. For miracles to happen in this house, there needs to be credibility. That means this, that my love should not be shallow. My love should not be based upon somebody's giving or somebody's talents or somebody's abilities based upon anything else. It shouldn't be based on my credibility should be right. For me, see, Jesus' credibility was right on. Listen, loyalty. Oh, I'm sorry. That's wrong. I can't read my own writing. Legality. Legal rights. We'll get into this. And then the last one is experience. Okay? I just wanted to put those out there for you. Acts 10. I'm going to go quickly. Okay, you ready? It says the word, this is in Acts 10:36, and it says, "And the word which God sent, amen, unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, He is the Lord of Lords." That word that was sent, amen, the word of the, I want you to think about this, that Jesus Christ was the Word of God in the flesh. He was the habitation of the Father in the earth. Think about that. He was the habitation of the Father in the earth, Jesus Christ. He was God's habitation in the earth. Everything that you see of Christ, we're to imitate. That's why we're Christians. We're to represent that. We have to understand that, guess what? I am the habitation of the Father in the earth. So he says, "In the word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good." Listen, before miracles, before anything else, he said he went about doing good. Wow. Say goodness. Man. See, goodness, mercy, and grace, they're all together. Come on, those are all together. That he extended grace, he extended mercy, and the goodness of the Father. This was the habitation, the representation of heaven in the earth. Jesus the Son. So he was representing. So I want us to get something down deep within us. Come on, amen. Because there's a lot of things that go on, whether it's sickness, whether there's things that are confused, bad things that happen. Jesus came demonstrating the Father's heart doing good. See, I want you to get this. I want you to know that that's who our Father is. He's about doing good. He's about healing, he said. He went about healing and doing good. See, that's what we need to have it deep within our core, because things happen in our lives that go around us and entertain our thinking. But if I know my core thinking, he's good, and his mercy endures forever. And he was healing. Jesus was healing. He went about healing those. Whatever that might be, he was healing. So, I'm to demonstrate that same in the earth. Every one of us, we're to demonstrate that. To represent that. We have the authority to do that. It's not just a pastor. Come on, it's a body. Say body. And all that were oppressed of the devil. Man, sickness is an oppression of the enemy. I want us to know that. That if you're sick, it doesn't mean that you say, "Oh, I've done something wrong." It's just understand that there's a fallen nature in the earth through sin. But God has given us power to overcome. So here, so he says, "And all were oppressed of the devil, and God was with him." God was with him. He was with him, representing him in the earth, healing, doing good in the earth. Amen. So I want you to see that he was in the word, that the Father was in the word that was sent, that he was in that word, a representation. That every one of us, we got to know this and see this, that we are a body of Christ, every one of us. If we can look at ourselves as each one of us as a word from heaven, sent from heaven. Just think about this, that you're a word sent from heaven. And myself, I can be a word to somebody, but what happens, it's more powerful and begins to make sense when that word comes together. Because that word becomes a sentence. And then a sentence becomes a, and a paragraph becomes a, and a chapter, and a chapter, and then all of a sudden the book becomes flesh. it becomes to be made sense. Sometimes the world can't make sense of it. Why? Because God's word haven't become made flesh to them in the earth. That's a powerful thought if we just take away. So I am a sent word. Every one of you, we've got to realize this, that I'm a sent word. Every single one of us, you're a sent word from heaven to demonstrate God's glory in the earth. I'm allowed to walk over here. He gave me a dirty look because I passed that camera, but I'm not on camera. That's what you did. So that's a powerful thought, right? Amen? So let's look at 2 Peter 1. Now, I've been wanting to get to this scripture on Saturday night for 3 weeks, and I didn't get there. So I found myself here tonight. Okay. This is 2 Peter. I'm going to go right into... this is in 2 Peter 1, 2. 1, verse 2. It says, "Grace, the favor of God, and peace be multiplied unto you through knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." That the grace of God be multiplied. How is the grace of God multiplied in your life? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So that knowledge is word. So we can understand that the word becomes multiplied in my life. Now, I want you to see this and get this and understand something, that I am a word from God. You're a word from God. So that word becomes multiplied in our lives, and also here. So it's a demonstration. I want you to check this out. See this. It says, "So grace and peace be multiplied." The word, it's multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, according to His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. I got to break this scripture down. Sometimes we just run through it, but this is powerful. He says, "According as His divine power hath given to us all things," say all things, "everything that pertains to life." Now, that means dynamic living. He's given you power to have dynamic life, every one of us. See, because of the supernatural. We're to live supernatural lives. And unfortunately, we live mundane lives so many times, every one of us, because of the rhythm of things that get around us, because we let people cause us to become mundane, amen, to be lethargic or just go through the motions, amen, instead of living a dynamic, supernatural, spirit-filled life in daily living. See, Jesus gave us this demonstration, not for us to say, "Look, you can have this someday." No, no, no. For us to walk in today, to experience the fullness of what the Father had in store for Him in the earth, right here, right now. Listen, I want you to know that people need demons need to cast out. People need healed on the earth today, not in heaven. No one's sick in heaven. He's anointed you to heal the sick, to cast out demons in the earth, to demonstrate, amen? So there's this dynamic, and I want you to see this, that when Jesus did miracles, crowds came because of the miracles. It was a demonstration. I want you to know, sometimes people say, "Oh, it's not all about that." Can I say something? I'm tired of hearing that, because it's not... Jesus went around healing all the time. But sometimes what happens is people are afraid to step beyond the boundaries in our faith and are afraid to lay hands on the sick. That maybe they might not get healed. It ain't my job. I'm called just to lay hands on the sick. And whatever happens, happens. He's the healer. See, but what happens is sometimes churches will get just, we'll just get lethargic, and we'll just get, and the emotions will say, "Well, that was for another day," or "Maybe that's not for us." That's a lie. It is for us. Miracles are. Amen. I want you to know this. When somebody is risen from the dead, amen, and when somebody is healed of cancer and people see that growths fall off somebody, amen, right in front of people, something takes place. Something happens in the midst of people that are right there. It's, wow. Of course, you had ones that seen that, but it was a demonstration of the goodness of God. I want to make this clear. I want you to hear this, that I seek Jesus above anything else. But because I seek Jesus, miracles come with it. Period. Period. Amen. So he says, so we're to live this dynamic life. And he says, supernatural style living. Amen. He says, and through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, means power. He's called us to glory. Say glory. Whew. Come on, say glory. He says, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers. That we're partakers. Amen? Tell your neighbor you're a partaker. You're a partaker. Come on, tell someone else. You're a partaker, that we're able to be partakers. What? Of a divine, dynamic living that God has called us to. Amen? Not the mundane. Come on. Not the just going through the motions. But God has called us. He has called us to partake in this dynamic living that He has brought us into. A demonstration of God Himself in the earth. A token of heaven, right here, right now, right here in Newcastle. God has placed me on Kaufman Lane, Road, whatever they call it. I call it Lane, they call it Road, but I'm the one that named it. Someone told me, he said, wow, that's weird. He said, how'd you get a house? Just a fortunate thing, spelled the same way and everything. I named it. I'm not going to name it after somebody else. I'm going to name it after me. Kaufman Lane. Amen. All right, let's get going. So he says, the glory and virtue, he says, whereby given unto us, he says, to be partakers of a divine nature. Divine nature. My goodness. That's divinity. Whew. To participate in the divine. My. Whew. He says, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, the corruption that is in the world. Let's look at Jude 1:17, not chapter 2. I think you all know that. He says, listen, I'm going to read it to you. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last times who should walk after their own ungodly lust. See, God wants us to walk after His divine nature. See, but the world wants you to imitate the ungodly. See, that what happens is that we just get an emotion that you can't even see the difference between the two, and that's unfortunate. We should be living lives that are so dynamic that people cannot tell. They can tell the difference from one life to another, that there's something about you, hallelujah, that I want what you got, amen? No matter where you are, that begins to flow up out of your lives. And it's something that comes. It's something, but abiding in the Word, it's sowing that Word in your life. It's spending time. It's having encounters with the Most High God. It's putting yourself in that position, whether you pray in the Spirit and you get in the place where you're flowing from God, or hearing God's voice, that you become repetitious, get to a place where you make it a habit of a living, that you spend time with the Father, begin to hear the voice of the Father, begin to recognize it, that He can have a communication with you. He can tell you, stop. You need to go the other way.
Yep, Father.
I want you to hear this and know. So many times we blame God, but we have not had an ear to hear. That's why He continues to tell us, have an ear to hear. God's grace and mercy is intense. But listen, if God's looking for some ones that have an ear to hear, that become in tune, that, man, just, hey, you want to bless somebody. God says, you got something. I need to give this. I need to do this for you, or whatever that might be.
I want you to hear this. He says, "And these be they who separate themselves, natural having it themselves naturally, having not the Spirit. But you believe, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith." But you are building yourself up. I'm going to build myself up in faith. I'm going to add to what God has placed within me. Amen? He says, the most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Keep yourselves in love of God. Looking for mercy. Looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Looking for mercy in Him. I want you to hear this. I want you to put these things together. If you're taking notes, put them down, because I believe that this is, I'm bringing you a point that you can take hold of where I'm bringing you to here. So let's go back to 2 Peter. Are you okay with that? So here he says, and he says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue." Means goodness, power. "And to virtue, knowledge." Knowledge, spiritual understanding. "And to knowledge, temperance. That means discipline. "And to discipline, patience. And to patience, godliness." You know what godliness is? Passionate, reverent wonder. Whew. Passionate, reverent wonder. Don't lose it, man. See, that's all godliness is. There's a passionate, reverent wonder. Whew. That we have this in our lives. That we become more in tune. Do you really think every one of us think that Jesus just got through the motion and forgot during the day who He was? We do. "Oh, I'm Chris Kaufman. I got a job. I'm a bricklayer. I got to pay my bills." That's true. But that's not who I am. There's something greater. There's something more of who I am. Amen? This is what makes us different from the world. He says, "In godliness and brotherly kindness." And the brotherly kindness. I want everybody to do something too on your own studies. Just look up the Bible. Look up how many times God challenges us to love one another. You're going to say, "Boy, I failed there." Because if He said it that many times, we need to be more aware of that. All right. I just threw that out there. Catch it if you want. He says, immaculate reception. That's what I called the birth of Christ a little bit ago. You missed it. So. I'm a Steelers fan. "For if," listen to this, "so if these things be in you," that's the DNA. See, those are the DNA of God. Those are things, brotherly love, kindness, goodness, grace, mercy. Those things be in you. Say, if they be in you. Are they in you? They're in you. Amen. These are in you. If the DNA is in you, hallelujah. If you have Christ within you alive, this is what He says. He says, "If these be in you and abound, they make you that you neither be barren, idle, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Whew. Listen, the more you love in the Spirit, the more you begin to gain patience, the more you wait on the Lord, the more you begin to have that reverent wonder of God, the awareness of God, the more that you have virtue and power, that goodness flowing through your life, the more that you receive and take hold of it, as more as it begins to add upon you, you're not going to be barren. You add to it in your life. He says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, hath forsaken, forgotten, that he has been purged from his old nature." That's what happens. People forget that they've been purged from their old nature. something happens in our lives that we become more aware of everything else and become blinded to what is real and what's powerful. He says, and wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. He says, for if you do these things, you shall never fail. You shall never fall back. If you let these virtues, the natures, the DNA of Christ, that thing that's within you, begin to multiply. He says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in everlasting kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Though you know them, I want you to hear this, that we do know these things. He says, though you know them and be established in, what is it? Present truth. In the present truth. That we begin to take hold of present truth. Of the way it is right here, right now. Not yesterday, not was in our past. Come on, what might not happen tomorrow? But what is in the present truth? Amen. What right here, right now? What's God saying about you right now? What's taking place right now in your life? He says, I want you to be aware of that. And he says, yes, I think it meet. He says, yes, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. To stir you up by putting you in remembrance that you got everything that you need in you and you're anointed for this moment. That's present truth. Everything that's in you. Come on, amen. You're able to love. You're able to give mercy. You're able to walk in goodness. Come on, you're able to walk in these virtues that God has called you to walk in. Faith that God has put within you. Hallelujah. And for that faith to multiply and grow exceedingly beyond, abounding, overflowing within your lives to others around you. It's not meant just to keep it within you. Hallelujah. But you're meant and built for overflow. I am built for overflow. Hallelujah. I am built that I overflow what's within me to others around me. Hallelujah. I am built that way, every one of us. We have a relief valve to flow out and touch others around us. Miserable Christians are those that are not walking in their anointing they're called to walk in. Period. Amen? Is that the truth? Thank you. Yeah, there you go. Check this out, guys. That was my fault, too, for starting at 6:30. Or my 6. It, actually, Dan had put it in the paper, but it was my... That was my fault. Next time, we'll never do a 6 o'clock again, so just keep that out of your mind. I apologize. What's that? We're changing it. I apologize. Yeah, we're changing it, you're saying. Amen. So, we got it. Amen. Yeah. So, this to stir you by putting you in remembrance, putting you back together again, putting you in the right condition to who you are, to remind you who you are. I'm here tonight to do this to each and every one of you. I'm here to do this to myself. Do you know that man, I can share this with you, but because he told me to tell you everybody hello, it's Valentine. But he called me, he calls me periodically. And we were on a call on Saturday, and I need to receive. I need to receive. I mean, he puts me in remembrance of who I am. Come on, as a pastor, he puts me in remembrance. Amen. He reminds me of who I am and the anointing that's within my life. As a man of God in my life. And so here tonight, I'm here to do one thing. Is I want to put you in remembrance. And I want to tell you you're valuable. I want you to... And I feel this tonight at the end of the service. I believe that sometimes we're labeled... Man, I felt a heavy anointing on this today. That we're labeled. We label ourselves. We've been labeled by others.
We've been marked. There's been things that have been put upon us that we're not who what they say we are. The enemy continually reminds us of things that we're not. And I'm here to tell you, I'm reminding you of who you are. Amen. I want to stir up people. I want to have a mighty people. I want people to be strong in the Lord. Amen. I don't want people that would be inferior or weak, but I want you to understand you're mighty. Hallelujah. And it's not by me building you up. No, it's you building up your life. Hallelujah. Reminding yourself of who you are. Amen. To stand up and walk in that authority of who you are. I want you to see this. So here we go. So Isaiah 43:7. Somebody get that, because I can't go to all these scriptures and get to where I got to get. Somebody got Isaiah 43:7? Go. Woo. Even everyone that is called by my name. Are you ready for this? For I have created him for my glory. And I have formed him, yea, I have made him. For I have created him for what? For my glory. Are you called by his name? Then you are created for what? What does that look like? You don't have to jump out and say it, because I guarantee if I ask everybody here, y'all might have a different answer for glory. We really, a lot of us really would have a different answer for glory from maybe something we've thought or something we've seen or something we've... And a lot of them probably have some type of similarity to it. You know what I mean? Whatever that might be. But so many times we get a misconception of glory as being smoke or something, a cloud or... And that's part of it. That's some of the stuff that we see in the Word of God where things happen. But it's more than that. Hallelujah. That I was created for His glory. Each and every one of us. And that's something that's deeper than what we can imagine. And I want you to see this tonight. Let's look at Exodus. Exodus 33. He says, "And now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace..." This is Moses crying out to God. "To show me now thy way, that I might know thee, that I might find grace in thy sight. And consider that this nation is thy people." He says, "And he said, my presence shall go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest." This is God's promise to us, that his presence goes with us and he will give us rest. And he says, "And he said unto him, if thy presence does not go, I'm not going." I want you to see this, and I want you to have this, that every one of us, we need to have this in our lives. The moment we wake up, we need to be at a place where that we say to ourselves that God, we know that God's presence goes with us always. We know. But listen, I want you to know that, am I aware of that, that he is going with me? Sometimes things get around us and things happen during the day that you got to remind you that you're a son of God because of the way we act. Because if you were reminded of the way you were, you wouldn't do that. I'm being real. Come on, amen. But that moment that you do that thing, and you're like, oh, I want you to know, at that moment, the presence of God reminds you he's with you. And something happens in your mind, you think, ooh. Or maybe a thought in your mind that comes upon your mind, I don't want to think that thought. You're reminded of what? God's presence is with you. So Moses is saying, God, Lord, I don't want to go without your presence. I want to be aware of your presence. I want to know that you're with me. And he says, "For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight?" And he says, "And shall we be separated, and thy people from all the people that..." I need a stronger set of glasses. "And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing. Also thou hast spoken, for thou hast found grace in my sight, and I know thee by name." I know you by name. He says, "And he said,
I beseech thee, this is Moses. And what does he say to God? Show me your glory. He said, show me your glory. And when he said that to him, he said, I will make all my goodness, say goodness, pass before you. Now, I want you to hear this and know this, that, see, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God is His glory. And He says, and as that goodness, as my goodness goes by you, hallelujah, that as it goes by you, you'll be aware of my glory. But then He tells him this, are you ready? He says, and it came to pass, He said, behold, there's a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass that while my glory passes by you, I will put thee in the cleft of a rock, and I'll cover you with my hand. The hand speaks of approval, but the cleft of the rock speaks of Jesus Christ. I want you to know that I'm able to participate, take hold of the glory of God, the goodness, the grace, the mercy of God, because the Father has placed me through Jesus Christ in the cleft of who He is. So I want you to know that we are more than just fleshly objects. We are carriers of the goodness and mercy and the glory of God. Right here, right now. Not just a cherubim someday, but right here, right now, I am a carrier of the glory of God. So it says, Colossians 1:25. Are you okay? I want to lay these out for you. Got it? He says, I want you to catch this. He says, wherefore I have made, this is, he's declaring, I am a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. He's a minister of dispensation. That word dispensation means oikin ami, which means economy. That I am a dispenser of the economy of God. I am a manager of the household of God. What a powerful symbol here that we could see this. That you see, listen, I want you to know that God abides within your house, but He releases that you let Him. At faith, we release what God's in our lives. We do it by faith. God doesn't force anybody. We do it by having an ear and moving and walking in the Spirit. So we can become dispensers of the economy of God, the will of God. See, Jesus was a dispenser of the Father's will in the earth by doing good and healing those around. He was administrating the heart of the Father through His household. That Jesus was a house of miracles. I'm looking right here at not just a place that's a house of miracles, but I'm looking at houses of miracles. I said, I'm looking at houses of miracles that you see that they're in charge of the household affairs. How am I taking care of the household affairs of the Father? See, I had somebody say to me, at one time, that church, I can't believe they didn't take care of their finances. And that's wrong. But I thought of this scripture right here, and I thought to myself, we are to take care of the household finances, our affairs of our household. But sometimes people look at the church and say, oh, look at the church. You're the church. See, I want you to know if the church knew who they were, then the church would be better. I said, if the church, individual churches got in order, households, then the whole picture would be in better order. Amen. Is that not the truth? Amen. So listen. So he says that we are the dispensation of the carrier, dispensers of the glory of God, revealing it. He says, and which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. He says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages. There's a mystery. Generations. I'm going to reveal to you a mystery. Amen. Hallelujah. That's been hidden from ages. It's hidden from the angels to this point. He says, and to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of the mystery of that glory, among the Gentiles. That means among everybody. The ordinary people. The whoever it might be. It's that one person that was a drug addict, that the moment they received Christ, that all of a sudden, they become a carrier of the glory of God. That no matter who you are, that you could be a Gentile, could be whoever that one who is a sinner, that God can capture your heart, and now all of a sudden you could be a container of God. See, that's powerful. See, I don't take it lightly. I live by that. I stand by that with everything within me to realize that I walk in that awareness. I need to be aware of that everywhere I go, that I be a representation of God in the earth, that God, you want to flow through my life. That is dynamic living. Hallelujah. When you go places, when God speaks to your heart, no matter where you're at, and God uses you to speak supernaturally into somebody, into a moment in their life where that they needed to hear it. There's been times in my life where that, man, I have not been attuned to hear what God's saying because I've been concerned about it. Oh my gosh, but this, oh yeah, but those moments that I become in tune with God. So I want to walk in that all the time, but I remember one time I was standing there and there was a young girl and she was crying. I watched her in worship. She was crying, crying, crying. It was breaking my heart. And man, as I was worshiping, I had a vision. I began to see her sitting at a desk writing a letter. And I looked over her shoulder and she was writing the letter to God. She was asking God why He deserted her, why He failed her, why He wasn't there for her. Because her whole house was shambled, everything about it, their parents, her mother was gone, all these different things. And as I stood there, I watched the letter and crying, tears falling on the thing. And I was overwhelmed by it. I didn't know what to do. But after worship, I went up to her and I began to grab hold of her hand. I said, can I pray with you? She was, yeah. I said, man, I'm just going to say it. I began to tell her what I seen, and she began to fall down crying. Because that night before, she was writing a letter to God. See, I want to, sometimes there's moments that God's looking for somebody. And I'm here to tell you, I'm not always in tune to hear, but God's waiting. How many times have I missed it where God wanted to share with somebody that He's seen them when they were writing the letter, when they're about ready to take their own life, but I read them what was in their heart. You spoke what was in their heart, that you became available. You became aware. The Word became flesh. And dwelt. The reality of God. God, the habitation of the Father, became real in the earth. Became real to those fishermen that were standing there living on life that was just going through cycles. But here comes Jesus, the habitation of the Father, walked before them. Word became flesh, and all of a sudden their life became, wow! Phew. This is living. This is living. Yeah, they had things go in their lives, things that, but man, phew. This is living. Walking on water. Phew. Multiplying the fish and loaves and seeing coins come out of fish's mouths. Amazing stuff, amen? But see, God wants us to walk in dynamic living. You are Christians that were meant to wear miracles. Our born-again experience is a miracle. Amen? So, letting the Word of God become flesh reality. He says, and to whom with the riches of glory and the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you the hope of glory. Christ, where? In you the hope of glory. So this goodness and mercy of God is where? It's in you. The hope of the glory to be revealed in all the earth is in you. Wait, isn't God just supposed to do something on His own? No, you. The hope of glory in you. No, in you. Sorry. Man, I'd like to read it a different way, man. I like God just to show up and do it on His own. No. Christ in you. Hope of glory. See, that's the heart of the Father. Jesus was a demonstration to reveal the heart of the Father in the earth. That's what we're to be in the earth. You might not be walking on water, but I'm here to tell you you're meant to. I had a friend of mine jump out of a car one time, a pastor friend. He said he pulled over. He said, "Pull, stop. Jumped out of the car. He says he ran out the lake and he ran across the water. I said, "What are you doing?" He says, "I just wanted to walk on water one time." It was frozen. I wanted to tell people I walked on water. He did. Listen. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory, that we are the carriers of God's glory. We are the carriers. Let's look at Exodus 25. I want to show you this to you. I want you to know that the carrier of the glory was demonstrated in the Old Testament with the Ark of the Covenant. Amen? It carried the glory of God. It carried the presence of God. And when they had that with them, they had the Ark of the Covenant with them, the Ark. This is pretty cool, Christmas. We're not finished with it yet, though. But so this is a demonstration. It really wasn't that big. It was only like 2 feet high. It wasn't very big at all, okay? And the reason why is because the top part of this thing that came on the lid was solid gold. And you see, the outside, this thing was made, the box itself was made from Asher wood. And Asher wood is a wood that they got, and it's crappy wood. it's a thorn wood. It's full of thorns and thistles, and I don't know, kind of reminds me of me. But see, it doesn't matter, because God took that thorny thing and that sin and cast it away, and He covered it with who He was. Not just on the outside. Not just on the outside, but see, He does work on the inside. He does something on the inside, because it was covered with gold on the inside and on the outside. That was a demonstration of what God does, not only on the outside, but on the inside. Amen. The whole nine yards. God does start to finish. God does everything that we need. So here's this demonstration of this, and it's powerful for us to see this. But let's look at Exodus 25. I want to read it to you. And I like to take time sometime. And one of my favorite things to do is to, we've done this before. I don't know how long ago it was, Beth, but it was a couple of years ago where we did the whole ark. And we went through the whole ark, and I went through every different piece, and from one place to the outer court to go through them. And I want you to know I love it, because if you have time to just study it and look at it, it's powerful, because can you say it's in the details? See, I want you to know that all these stories that's in there, it's in there for a reason. And it might not make sense, just like sometimes you feel like you don't make sense, but I'm telling you, when you get an awareness of it and you realize really who you are, it's more powerful than what you thought. See, because all these measurements, everything, were a meaning for something bigger, because it was demonstrating you. See, it was a picture of His body. It was a picture of His people. It was a picture of a collective group of people that He could flow, that He can habitate with, that He can settle, get in the midst of, and He could celebrate, and He can have relationship with you. That's what it's all about. And we could see from the lights, from the fixtures, from the boards, there was boards, and the boards were made out of Asha, which is Shittim. So He could turn it to gold. But we have that. But every one of those boards, and they were individual boards that made up the whole picture of the tabernacle. Individual boards. Moses ark, or Moses' tent, tabernacle. So there were individual boards, and they were all tied together. Every one of those interwoven, it speaks of so many different things. They're so powerful that you're connected with one another. I need you. I want you to know that it was demonstrated so that you could realize, I need you. There wasn't a space empty. I need you. See, I want you to know, so many times Christians don't understand the fullness of what that really means, because when you get a picture of it, I want you to know, why did God do this? Why did God demonstrate the only Old Testament, go through all that stuff, and then bring Christ? Because He was giving us a picture of what was to come. He was showing us, bringing us piece by piece, putting the mystery, hallelujah. He was revealing to us, for those that want to, desire to seek it, He was demonstrating it through the ages of, this is who I am. The rock, the lamb that was shed in Egypt, that was put upon the Passover, every one of those things were demonstrations of Jesus Christ, Christ in you. Hope of glory. I want you to know that I have protection from the enemy and from sickness and disease because of the blood of that lamb. It's powerful. It's not just a story. It's a demonstration of something greater than what I can imagine. And so you can read this for yourself, but and He said, there I'll meet you, and I will commune with you from above the mercy seat and between the cherubims. See, He said that I will commune to you, and these cherubims speaks of the oneness that you have with Jesus. This speaks of the unity that you have with Him. And the things that holds it together is the mercy seat. It's the place that God reveals and releases His mercy and His goodness. It's the goodness of God. I want you to know, it is the goodness of God that He says leads men to repentance. It's when you become aware of the goodness of God. I think it's so powerful because David just became aware of how good God is, how much God loved him. See, people think, I'm telling you, this is the greatest revelation when you begin to let yourself just be aware of how much God loves you. And begin to think about it. Begin to let it capture your heart. Let it begin to get a hold of your condition. See, David, through the years, and he quit fighting his battles, and he just got to a place where he was just letting himself be soaked by the goodness and mercy of God. And in that place, he came to a place that he says, I want to reveal the goodness and mercy of God to my enemies. To my enemy's son, his only heir, the one that could ultimately overthrow him, I'm going to show him mercy. Why? Because he was so overwhelmed with the goodness of God. See, that's the heart of the Father. See, Mephibosheth, it's really good. I can say it really good in my head. What's his name? Mephibosheth. I say it good. I'm telling you, it's really going. Yep, that's it right there. Mephibosheth. See, I want you to understand something. When he came to David, and he couldn't understand. Well, how can this be? How can this be? He says, "I want to bless you. I want to show you mercy and grace." Man, it overwhelmed him. Am I making sense? He said, "So." Let me just go over a few of these things about this. The Asha and the Shittim wood speaks of the humanity of Christ, and I said it was a gnarly dark boards or bark that was on it. It was carved and shaped by the Word of God for His Master's specific use. Wow! See, this was shaped specifically for the Master's use. And this is what's really cool too, that it was made by a builder. He was an architect that God used, that came from the line of Judah. He was a master builder. And his name was Bezalel. He was a master building, and that name means in the likeness of God. The details. It's in the little things, man. They're powerful. There's so many different things, but we are crowned, that we are made to sit. We are seated with Him in the mercy seat, made to sit with Him in heavenly places, raised with Him. And inside here, as they took it off, that you would find inside here, the commandments. But they weren't the first commandments. They were the commandments that were made the unbroken commandments. See, it was unbroken law that was placed within it. And also within it was a jar of manna. And that manna speaks of Christ, that He's our heavenly bread. And then also within that was a rod. It was an Aaron's rod, which speaks of the high priest. But the thing that's powerful about it is you know, I don't know if you know the story, but that rod that budded out of that, it was a dead stick. It was a rod. It was what he carried. It was Aaron's carrying rod. But there was the different ones that were to be priests, and God chose Aaron to be the priest, to carry to be the high priest to everybody. So he had that rod, and he said, when you go to bed tonight, he said, when you wake up, he says that a shoot will grow out of the side of it. And an almond branch came out, an almond leaf came out of the side of Aaron's branch. What? Almonds speak of, they're the first to blossom in spring. Speaks of resurrection life. So what's in the ark? The Word of God. Resurrection life. The bread. The body of Christ. Do you see what I'm saying? There's something powerful about this, that we could see this, that we take hold of this. It's not just... And then even with the way that they carried, that there were staves, there was rings that were on the side of this thing, and they put, it was meant to be carried. You were meant to carry it. You are the carriers of the glory of God, the goodness of God. You are the carriers of the mercy, not to be stopped, but to release the mercy of God to those around you, releasing the mercy of God. What mercy has God released to you? Come on, I want you to think about what mercy has God given you that God wants you to demonstrate to those? We're able to. We want the mercy from God. I want all the forgiveness from God, but when it comes from me forgiving you or giving you, showing you mercy, I hold back. See, but God wants us to give mercy as He gives mercy. I want you to freely flow, to let it flow from your life to those around, because you are the carriers of my goodness. That's the way it's released in the earth. That's the goodness of God. That's how it's released to those around. That's how it's demonstrated. Jesus walked and He demonstrated, released it to everybody. Who was it? It wasn't something. He just was anywhere He would go. He would just. Most everyone, only two miracles, I think, two or three miracles were ever done in church. You know, the Bible says in Mark, it says that this Bible, this book could not contain all the miracles that Jesus did. These are not just the miracles. There's more that cannot contain these in a book. 3 years. 3 years. Demonstration of the glory of the Father. The goodness and mercy and grace. That's who we are. That seems like a huge responsibility. But it's not my glory, it's His. It's His glory. It's His goodness, it's His mercy. It's not mine. I can't be what He is. He released it through our lives. Amen? So, amen. That was quick, really quick. Let me finish up here. It says, carry of the mercy to be extended. And this is where I want you to get. This is where I brought everybody to in 1 Corinthians 13, where that we've been reading. I pray that you have been, because I believe it's so important for us to read that every day, to get in our spirit, to get a hold of us. Come on, say, get a hold of me. We need it to get a hold of us. We need the goodness of God. We need the mercy of God. We need the grace of God to come forth out of our lives, just out of our pores, out of everything where we are. Let it become flesh. Now, 1 Corinthians 11. I want to go through this really quick, but 11, 12, and 13. It ends with 13. But this is powerful to show you that you are the dispensers and you are the carriers of the glory of God. Number one, 1 Corinthians 11 tells me that I am qualified to carry the glory of God. I am qualified. to be a carrier of the goodness and grace and mercy of God. And I'm not qualified by anything that I do, not by my works. I want you to know that Moses could not enter into the promised land. And it kind of frustrated me for a long time because I thought, here, Moses did everything. He did all these things and he couldn't get in. I want you to know, if Moses would have got in, he would have said to me that it's by works that you're saved. Moses was the carrier of the law, so Moses couldn't even get in. I needed Christ. I needed a Savior. But the story's not over with Moses. Hang on. So, I want to read this to you. And are you okay? You bored? You got extra half hour. Okay. It says, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me.' And after the same manner also, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying this, 'This is my cup of a new testament in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me.'" I want you to hear this, know this, guys, that if you're living by the natural and the flesh, this will offend you like it did those who were there. Because I want you to know, by the Old Testament values, they weren't supposed to drink blood. No, there was no part of any blood that they were supposed to touch their lips. They were not to eat anything that was strangled. There were so many different laws that they were breaking by Jesus demonstrating this, but Jesus was talking in the Spirit. He was speaking of Himself, that I am that body, that my life is that blood for your behalf. We all understand that. And it says, "And after he ate this bread and drank the cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come." He says, "And wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup," this is one of the most messed up scriptures that people use. And let me say this real quick. In churches, unfortunately, and I've seen it, and it's bothered me, because this is what people do. They will get you to be saved out of fear. That I remember that my grandma would always try to get us to be fearful of God, that we would repent quickly so that I didn't go to hell. So I'm missing the mark of Jesus' purpose, that it wasn't just for me not to die and go to hell, but it was for me to have relation with Him, something more than just that. But for me to miss that, you see what I'm saying? It was out of fear. So if fear is being used, then that means the fear has got to be used all the time. So people got to get saved every week. That every moment that I'm walking, that I'm waiting, that I used to sometimes fear that every single service I'd get saved, because I know I'm going to break the law. I know that I'm going to do something wrong, even if I don't mean it. Come on, maybe if I don't mean it, you don't know what it might be, but I might break it, and you're living in fear every moment to moment. Come on, God's bigger than that. Doesn't give it okay to sin, because if God's moving in your heart, you'll change. You'll want to do right, like I said from the beginning. And you'll know that I want to be aware of God's presence. And when God says stop doing that, I put it out of my way because I want God's presence and awareness right now. I want present truth in my life. And when God's speaking to me about something that I'm doing that's wrong and I don't move in it, I'm not walking in His Spirit, I need to repent. It's not about that. It's not wishy-washy. But I want you to know that, unfortunately, that's what people use. They said if they take it unworthily. It's like by me, if I take it, I want you to know only by me taking it do I become worthy. So how do I get worthy unless I take it? So he says this. He says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink of this cup unworthily and be guilty of the blood of the Lord..." He says, "But let him examine himself, and let him eat that this bread and drink of this cup. For that he eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now, I think I've taught this before and shared this before, but not discerning the Lord's body. That we don't discern it, that we don't examine it, that we don't realize what He did for me makes me worthy. It's nothing that I do that makes me worthy. It's what He does. That's what He's demonstrating. This is what He's declaring. That we come into the knowledge and understanding of Christ. That when I become aware of it, it's what He did for me that makes me worthy. It's that blood that washes away my sins. Come on. It's by me partaking and communing with Him that makes me right with the Father. Makes me come into a relationship of communion with Him. So by me not discerning it, it's by me saying this. That when I think that I'm not worthy, when I'm not good enough, when we do that, we bring damnation on ourselves. That's why people, I hear people say, oh, I'm not good enough. I work. Stop saying that. Because what you're saying is what Christ did for you is not enough. He needs to die again. He needs something more. I need something more than what Christ did for me. No, no. What He did for you is enough. It took away my sin. Wash them away. Whew. Amen? So where's body? So not only that, but here's the other part. And I've seen this just recently when I began to look and see this. That not just is it that it makes me worthy. That's what makes me qualified to carry it. It makes me worthy to carry it. He says, so this qualifies me. And by me not discerning the body, I miss out on the benefits that God has for me. Because I miss out what the body can do for me. See, we are a many-member body connected together. And that's why it's so important where God said from the beginning about us loving one another. Because we're connected. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen, I want you to know that... I got to get this part, because it's our next part. That I don't deserve it. It's what we have in the body. That we're not discerning what we have in the body. I'm not discerning what I have. That we need to recognize what we have in you, in one another. So I want you to know that we, just like we discern the body of what Jesus Christ, by said His blood in His body, that we don't look at that in the natural, but spiritual. We need to discern the body, spiritual body of one another, and recognize the giftings that are in one another. The value. The glory that's to be dispensed out of your life. That you carry, each and every one of us. So, now, that was 1 Corinthians 11 qualifies me in carrying the glory, but 1 Corinthians 12 is the gifts that's in me. It's discerning the body. We need to discern and realize how valuable each one of us are. Do you know, I want you to see this. The Bible says, my God shall supply all my needs according to my God shall supply all my needs according. Oh wait, someday God will just send it in the mail, or God will just plop it down, or God will just visibly appear. Glory cloud. My God shall supply all. God can do whatever He wants. But I'm going to tell you what God chooses to do. Shall supply. Because if you see the context of what Paul's talking about, he says that those ones that were there were supplying his needs. He said, but he was saying that God, he says, takes care of things. He says, but in glory, Christ in you. He said that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory. His riches in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, I want you to know this, that God will supply needs to one another, that if we become to have an ear to hear, that's why it's important for us to recognize the body. That's why it's so important for every one of us to recognize we're valuable. That's why it's so important for us to encourage to one another, to see one another get to where they need to be with God. That's why we need to be at a place where we're stirring one another, lifting one another, encouraging, because what you have in you, I need. It's going to supply my need. I'm telling you, what's in you will supply the need in me. The God in you desires to supply the need within my life. See, if we recognize that and we see the value in one another, don't discard one another, because you might be discarding the supply of God for your life. Stop unforgiving people, because you might be not forgiving the supply of God in your life. Come on, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. Yeah, but no, I'm telling you. For us to recognize, this is why we're weak, the Bible says. This is why the body's weak, he said. That's why they're falling asleep. Why? They're weak because they're not walking in the full potential of the body. I said this before at a prayer meeting with it, that my friend went to a chiropractor. He walked to the chiropractor, and when he went in there, the chiropractor says, push on my hand. He pushed, and he says he couldn't already lift his arms up. He was embarrassed. And after they lined him up and cracked his back, he got up and he said, now push me. And he about pushed the guy over. I want you to know, it wasn't about power. He had the power in him. The only difference was he got lined up right. I want you to know that we got the power. The body got the power. But when it lines up with one another, when it lines up the right way together, we begin to work together, flow together, communicate together, begin to believe in one another, share in one another, lift one another, encourage one another, stir one another, bless one another. My goodness. Sometimes maybe God's talking to you. My friend told me that he says he was praying in a prayer line, praying for a lady, and the lady says she needed a financial miracle. He says, what is it? He says, my electric bill is going to get turned off. He's saying, God, Father God, God says, what are you doing? Praying for a miracle. Starts praying. God's interrupting him again. What are you doing? I'm praying for a miracle. It's in your pocket. So he reached in his pocket. He pulled out his wallet. He says, here. He said, there it is right there. You just supplied your need. What are you waiting for? See what I'm saying? My goodness. We put limitations on God. We're to walk in the supernatural. We're to walk in the abundance. Phew. That $200 in my pocket. Phew. Whatever it was, I don't know what it was. Listen, so he says, let me finish. I'm almost done, right? You okay? I'm wrapping this up. He says, don't be ignorant. He says, these are the gifts in you. He says, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but the same God. We're the same God. Everybody has different gifts. Everybody, I wrote this down. It says that each and every one of us, we don't fit everywhere, but we need to fit somewhere. Not everybody's going to fit the same place, but fit somewhere. I didn't start off preaching. I started off, my dad told me to, listen, I said, Dad, I want to be a Sunday school teacher. It's like, son, listen, here's what I want you to do. See that, the house over there? He says, remodel that room upstairs, he says, and that could be your Sunday school room. So I spent a month and a half remodeling a room to make it my Sunday school room. But I just want to see this. I want you to know there was something there. I remember sitting times, and in that moment was times that something God was building within me. See, it doesn't matter what it is. It might be that moment, that whatever that might be, wherever you are at that moment, but just fit somewhere. Just be a part of whatever it is. It might not be what, oh, it's not really what I want right now. Just do something. Come on, amen? Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever it might be, give me a broom, give me a mop, hallelujah. You see a dirty floor, bless it, amen? Come on, just scrub it. You know what you might be doing to somebody else that sees that and says, wow, that's really awesome. Come on, just believe in what we know, amen? He says, but listen, Listen, Isaiah, there's so many scriptures. Isaiah 42:8 says this. Do you remember the scripture that says that God's jealous? He says that He won't share His glory. Oh, see, this is offends people because they'll say, we're not to take God's glory. Here's another scripture where that we just messed up. God says He's jealous of what? Of you. Your glory. The glory in you. He will not share His glory, His goodness. Yours glory. He does not want to share that. He doesn't want you to be something else or something. He wants you to reveal His glory. Not to hold back and take hold of your own glory and do your own things and be just about yourself. But God says, no, I want you to reveal My glory. Okay? Don't get mad at me. This is good news. Amen? Listen, so He says, and then we can go down. It says that this is another faith. By this is different ones. It says a gift of healing by the same Spirit. Keep saying by the same Spirit. It says to another the working of miracles, to another prophecies, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues. That means there's different types. There's interpretations. There is the gift of interpretation. There's the gift of knowledge. You understand that. He says, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one in the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man as he will. He says, for the body is one, he says, in many members, and all the members of the body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. Let's just get it right. I mean, one body. Amen? We're together in this thing. He says, have been made to drink into the one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. It's many. If the foot shall say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, and therefore I'm not the body. It's ridiculous. He says, but God hath set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. I want you to see this. As it has pleased Him. Don't ever think of the gifting that you have lesser than anybody else. Wherever you might be, because what you might be is what God needs for someone to have. Whoever it might be. It's valuable. Valuable. I can go through the Bible and show you so many different men and women in this Bible that weren't big names, but were valuable players to the gospel. Valuable carriers of the glory of God. Come on. Powerful demonstrations that they were gifted. So don't ever look down at what you have and think, oh, I don't have this, or I'm not a pastor, I'm not this. Listen, I want you to know, listen, you might be, whatever it might be in the church, or we need to be part of the church, but listen, your gifting, your ministry, you might be like to your children, raising up children. That's the kingdom of God. That you're imparting into your children. Whatever that, you might be a teacher, or you might be a nurse, or you might be whatever that might be, don't look lightly on it. I might just be a bricklayer, which I am a bricklayer, but more than that, I'm a carrier of the glory of God. I live supernatural lives. Life. Come on, amen. It might not always feel like it. I might don't be going through moments like that where it's like, somebody thinks there's a pig got loose in the church. Was that a pig? Oh, it's an old antique corn. Sound like a pig. All right, I'm sorry. Let me finish here. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. I just want to get this. So we can understand this. He says, well, he says, every one of the parts having given abundant honor, all the parts which lacked, no matter what, we got to be part. He says that there be no schism in the body, that the members should have the same care one for another, every part, every member. We need to value one another. Value one another. Whew. I want to have a people that, man, you're in love with one another. makes a difference. Because here's the difference right here. Because it brings us to 13. Because none of that works, come on, unless it flows from this place. This is the channel by which it moves. To accomplish any one of these, to walk in the reality of it, for you to even take hold of the thought of knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, hallelujah, that you could have live is by taking hold of that Jesus loves you, that you believe that by faith. So it all stems from love. It all flows from that place. See, everything, to make it work, it flows from love. Anything outside of that, that's what people, oh, but no, you need to be this, you need, no, love. Period. Come on, I can end. Love is the most important, is your greatest weapon of warfare that you can have, is when you can sit down in the midst of your chaos and the hell that you're going through and just sit there in a place where you can take hold of and abide in the understanding of God's love for you and become aware of it. Come on, amen. It'll shake you to your core. It'll cause you to rise up. It's that love that Paul took hold of when he was in chains and in prison, when he was hanging there, that he said it was This love, how deep is it? How wide is it? Hallelujah. How far can it go? That's where the place where he shared that love. That's where he came on reality of it. Wow. That's where he was awakened to it in prison, just by being aware of God's love. That's where David stood up against Goliath. Because he knew the love of the Father for him. So that's what he did. So I just want you to understand that and know that. There's so many important parts. Listen, next time we come together, if you're not sure what your giftings are, that you might not know what they are. But I'm here to tell you this. This is just real quick, that you're here to, every one of us can give a gift of knowledge or a gift of encouragement to one another. Everybody. Every one of us have a portion of these. All the gifts that we have, every one of us have a portion of that. I've known people that have the gift of faith. Like, unbelievable, unshakable faith that just, I'm like, wow. I want that. There's people that walk in different gifts of demonstration of healing that I long for. Or prophecy, or whatever they might be. But every one of us can begin somewhere. Do you know that every one of the gifts begin like it does with tongues? You get an unction. It doesn't come all at once. God doesn't force you to do it. But when it comes up on you to release it by faith, and it grows, every one of the gifts follow the same way. Every one of the gifts follow that pattern in your life. They're not forced. They're released. Demonstrated. So sometimes it's just stepping out in faith and giving somebody a word. Like that girl that was talking about out of word. Sometimes we got to always be careful of saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm very careful with that. But you say that I feel. And I really feel this in your life. I feel like, man, you're going through something, man. I'd like to pray with you. Or maybe there's moments or maybe something you can. And we had one lady say something about a cheesecake to somebody that knocked my socks off, because it was for somebody that makes cheesecakes that was at a tough place in her life. And the lady that said it says, this feels really dumb, but should I say it? I said, say it. And she said it, and I was like, wow, it might seem foolish to you, but my goodness, it lit her eyes up. Amen. So I want to sing this song. Like it says, that comes from the core value. The Bible says that in Romans 3:23, it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Listen, the reason that they've fallen short of the glory of God is because they've sinned. They've missed the mark of the goodness of God. We've missed the mark of the glory. So I want you to know, you never fail, like I said from the beginning. If you aim for that, the goodness, if you receive it, you stand in it, you become aware of it, take hold of it in your life, walk in the reality of it, let it be present truth. Amen. Liza, you got that? Go ahead. But as she gets that ready, Jesus was standing on the mountain, and he brought Peter, James, and John. They were standing there And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah were standing there. God asked, Moses asked God one thing. He says, I want to see your glory, and I want to enter into the promised land. God fulfilled his promise. Because Jesus was the promised land. He was looking at the glory and the goodness and mercy of God as he stood right there. As he looked at him, there was the goodness and mercy of God right before Moses. And all of a sudden, Peter, James, and John were standing there, and all of a sudden they weren't there no more. Why? Because they were swallowed up in Christ. No longer I that liveth, but Christ lives in me. That's where I want to be. That the only thing that you see is the glory of God. God's goodness. You don't see my flaws or this or that, but you see the mercy, you see the goodness, you see the grace extended from the Father to your life. That's what I desire. And they stood back and they looked and they seen Jesus, and there he was. It says that he was in this white gown and was glistening. Why? Because that speaks of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. That, listen, that it was white as snow. That he made you perfect and pure. And they said, should we make tabernacles? So we make buildings for Moses, for Elijah, and for you. And the Father says, behold my Son. This is the heart of the Father. That he would abide in you. That you would be his tabernacle. We're not building one. He's in me. Come on. Would you stand your feet? Somebody might have labeled you, whatever you think of yourself. Come on, let's just put it aside. Hallelujah. Let's just look at Christ. Let's just behold glory. Let's behold what he did, what they